We may not be able to get in on the sporting action like we used to, but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their third year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers exclusive to all GAA club members. So now you can take home the win right to your door. Check out renault.ie/GAA to find out more.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Listen, McGregor, and now they're really roaring.
And I can tell you, that there won't be a cold milk cow declared for at least a week.
Hello, everyone. You're very welcome to the Renault Irish Examiner Gaelic Football Show. My name is Paul Rouse, and I'm joined by the former Armagh footballer, Oisín McConville, by Kevin Walsh, the former Galway manager, and by Jack O'Connor, the former Kerry manager and current Kildare manager. Oisín, to start with you, can you give us an overview of why Tyrone won?
Well, Paul, if you want to look at the raw stats, I suppose if you were to hand those stats to any individual manager, which stats would he take? And that'll be the Kerry stats. 100% from the kickouts. They turned over seven of Morgan's kickouts in normal time. They only got 5 from 12 away. And if you look at those two things, as far as restarts is concerned, you know, you grab Kerry stats and you'd say Kerry should win that game fairly comfortably. You look at the scoring chances that they had and you think, the Kerry forward line should be able to convert more than converted. And why did Tyrone win the match? I don't want to insult them any more than I already have. But they had all of the traits that you would associate with a team who really had a cause. And they were willing to do whatever it took in order to get over the line. That does sound very simplified, and that does take away maybe a little bit from how good their decision making was in the final third in comparison to Kerry's. They got 2-9 off turnovers, direct from Kerry turnovers. And I think when you look at that, I think that sums up why Kerry lost the game. I mean, we're talking about a team who took the game to extra time, who only ended up getting beat by a point. But yes, something just didn't seem right about Kerry, about their approach, about how prepared they were for the challenge ahead. And I think that they probably didn't see the intensity coming in track. I think it's obvious the Munster Championship is not ideal preparation going into an intense game like that, and they just seemed ill-prepared for it. I think they felt as if they were going to go up to Croke Park and maybe put on a bit of a show. We're expecting, the forwards to break loose and kick scores. And to be honest, once David Clifford went off and didn't play any part in extra time, it didn't look as if, they had the belief to kick on and win the game. Again, all that sounds very harsh in considering that they did make a rally towards the end of the game and they only ended up getting beat by a point. But I don't know, it just felt more than a point. It felt more than Tyrone just seemed to want. Look, it's difficult one to say that they were up for the fight more, but definitely they were willing to go to a level, and that's Tyrone. Tyrone are willing to go to a level that other teams maybe just aren't willing to go to. And I think that, Kerry, as I say, were ill prepared for that challenge, and that's essentially why they lost the game, I think. And I know that may sound simplified to people, but Tyrone on the stats that we had at the end of that game shouldn't have won the game.
Jack, we're going to go through and look at tackling today. We're going to look at kickouts. We're going to look at turnovers, matchups, the bench, fitness, basic readiness. But if you were, as a starting point, to pick one particular reason why Kerry lost, what would you go with?
Well, just to pick up there on Oisin's point about possession. No, I don't have the stats on the amount of time or the amount of possession and so on, but Kerry obviously won all their own kickouts and won, I thought it was 8 out of 8 Tyrone long kickouts. I mean, early in the game, they were devouring the Tyrone long kickout, and that was one part of Kerry's game that actually did work. They did press up on the Tyrone kickout, and they forced them long. And when they did force them long, they definitely seemed to have an advantage around the middle of the field, both in the air and on the breaking ball. So you say to yourself, then, you know, why don't they win the game? Basically, for two reasons. Tyrone were more efficient with the ball. I mean, I pick out one player who I thought was magnificent. Might have got an awful lot of credit, but I thought Conor Myler was by far and away Tyrone's best player. He mopped up, he blotted out Paddy Clifford, who was a player for Kerry, out of the game, even though Clifford kicked 2 points now, which must be said, but he didn't have a huge influence on the game. And his decision-making on the ball was fantastic. I've never seen a guy as comfortable on the ball at close quarters, able to draw a man and slip the ball into a runner and create an overlap. And that was one thing that really stood out to me during the game. Tyrone's composure on the ball. They've obviously done a lot of work in tight quarters where they're pressurized, and they don't, like, just for example, I contrast the way they worked the first goal compared to a couple of the goal chances that Kerry butchered. The first goal, they kept drawing the man. Peter Happ slipped it at the right time. Sludden slipped it at the right time. Whereas, if you remember a goal chance that Kerry had, where Shawnee Shea and David Clifford appeared to have a 2-on-1, Shawnee just needed to take another couple of steps with that ball, draw the man, slip it to the back post. It's a tap in. He just gave the pass too early. That might seem like a very small detail, but they're the subtleties. Again, the one that was butchered between Paul Ganey and Stephen O'Brien. Again, you couldn't see Tyrone butchering that chance. So I would say it was composure on the ball, the ability to the decision making at tight quarters, and slipping the ball after drawing the man. That was critical to the way Tyrone were playing. They were drawing men in, and then they were slipping ball to the runner, and then you had open country and open ground in front of the runners. That to me was a real, from a coaching point of view, that to me looked to be a clear advantage to Tyrone. But look, I do think Kerry were a bit unlucky, even, you know, with my Kerry hat on. If you look at the first Tyrone goal, was a really well-worked goal, even though it came from a turnover. The other two goals were quite fortuitous. Young Canavan hit a shot that bounced out off the goalkeeper. No, there were two or three Kerry men there. There was one Tyrone man. He got the bounce. McShane tapped it in. If you look at the third goal, that's a kick by the centre half, McGeary, which is up in the air. It's going wide. Jack Barry is backing back towards the end line. Isn't quite sure of his ground. Just draws a foot at it. Goes straight to the Tyrone guy, and he sticks it. Like, you would have to say that was a bit fortuitous. But on the balance, you would have to say that Tyrone imposed their game plan and their terms on the game, whereas Kerry found out that, you know, the league games against Galway and the league game against Tyrone and Killarney and the other stuff counted for nothing, and the Munster Championship, this was a different ball game. They were asked questions by Tyrone that they haven't been asked all the year, and they didn't have the answers. And Kerry were taken out of their comfort zone. Paddy Clifford had been a huge player for Kerry. He was tracked by Myler. Runners were stopped. They were hit hard. Kerry never got the freedom or the space that they had got all the year. And you can prepare all you like for that, but until you're hit with it, you don't know how guys are going to react. And just one other factor, I think that's at play here. I've a great time for David Caldrick. I think he's a fantastic ref. He's an intelligent guy who talks to players and gives them his reasoning behind it. But I thought the way he refed the game played into Tyrone's hands a little bit. He refed the game right on the edge. Jesus, there was times you'd have to get murdered to get a free. No, he was the same on both sides. I thought Adam McCurry possibly could have got one, if not two, frees in the first half as well. But He riffed the game right on the edge. And I thought that's Tyrone, because they're very dogged defenders. They have real defenders who take pride in defending. You know, like Swansea and those guys, they are real dogged defenders. And they hit, and they were right on the edge, and they were getting hands in, and you know, that was stuff that Kerry hadn't been hit with all the year, and they couldn't handle it.
Kevin, if we look at that particular point there, Tyrone's tackling, Tyrone's defensive structure, how would you compare Tyrone to Kerry in how they went about their business?
I think it was a huge factor on the result. How, you know, Tyrone, for me, were able to play healthy defense. Kerry, I don't think they've moved on. We played them in 2018. They had kicked 9 points in the 70 minutes. They got a goal in a pint of injury time. And they hadn't met a lot of other chances. But we had blocked up the lanes that Kerry don't like to block. And we blocked up, you know, the middle two lanes. And Tyrone done the same. Tyrone brought them, you know, they used the sidelines and they used the inline every time as extra defenders. They let Kerry run down those lines. And when Kerry were playing out in lane one and lane five out in the sidelines, every time they came into the middle three lanes, they were hit with three and four bodies. They got blockdowns. They got savage tackling. But if you watch the Kerry defence, they're very slow to get a plus one back when they're attacking. It's fine if you can hold up for 5 seconds, they get the bodies back. But they're always isolated at the back. And again, I don't think Kerry have moved on from that over the last 3 years. I think that's the biggest Achilles heel. I would have expected Kerry to win the game. But in the back of my mind was defensively very poor. I don't think it's down to saying that they haven't got very good defenders. I think their defenders could be playing better as a unit. I don't think that they're covering the right spaces. And, you know, if you look at the full-back, Foley was dragged out there at the 45 one time on the opposite side. He missed a tackle up the field. It was just straight down over the bar. And if you look at the goal that you speak about, the one that brought it back before full-time, Tommy Welch was on the 45. He came out with a hand. Footwork was all over the shop. He missed the tackle. But, you know, he's got big arms. He's got long hands. He didn't get a hand on him. And that gave the overlap for young Canavan to do. If he caught in the back and over the top and it was back of the net. And Jackie, you're right, it was a fortuitous goal. But when you look at the defending that happened maybe 3 or 4 seconds previous to that, it's just not good enough at this level. And it's something that I would have always felt with Kerry until that becomes right. They've enough talent to win games if it goes right on a day. It didn't go right on the day yesterday. They were a bit unlucky. If the goals didn't come to their own, we'd be saying Kerry were a super team. We've got to look at the whole lot here. You know, as they say, you look at the winning and the losing the same and analyse it. For me, Kerry have probably the best footballers in Ireland at the minute, but the defensive side is just not good enough. And, you know, back to the point on Paddy Clifford, Jack, you were there. Milo was superb yesterday. I have to agree with you. I thought he was brilliant. Even the point, I think, in the 8th minute, Milo could sort up the field. He brought Clifford with him. Clifford was back at the 13-metre line. And I think he transferred to the one that Tyrone has put over the bar. 2 minutes later, McNamee scores a point. So Tyrone were coming forward with everybody, but they were continuously set up with a plus one defence. From a Kerry hit on the counter, there was always crowded out. So I think it was a huge factor in why Kerry lost that game. And I think going forward, you know, you look at black cards. 2 black cards came in a 30-minute period. From the 38-minute to the 68-minute, Kerry were, or Tyrone were down to 14 men for 20 of those minutes. Tyrone won that by a point. That's that half-hour sector, which isn't good enough. And I know they got a goal in the late on that, but that was the reason for that goal was the missed tackles in front.
Oisin, the refereeing, the manner in which the referee interpreted the tackle, do you agree that it favoured Tyrone, or was that irrelevant to the outcome?
No, it wasn't irrelevant to the outcome. I think, you know, you have a fair idea before you go into games. I think a lot of top managers will analyse, you know, how a referees a game, if he's going to let it go, and the referees are going to blow everything. And I think Tyrone were given the opportunity to play on the edge because that's the way David Goldrick referees games. And I think it certainly did favour them. I think that that appointment favoured them. I think there was a couple of ones that are questionable, but the one thing I would say about David Goldrick is that he was consistent in the way he implemented the rules for both sides. And I think, you know, that sort of played into Tyrone's hands and the fact that they were probably not probably they were a lot more physical in the tackle than Kerry were. That's what created the turnovers, and that's what put them on the front foot a lot of the time. The thing I was impressed with most, Paul, was, you know, we talked about matchups a lot last week and how important they were. But the thing that I suppose we didn't take into account was that Tyrone are not just into blotting people out of the game, per se. They want to impose their game on that individual, get them going the opposite direction. They did it to perfection against Donegal in a game where they were under severe pressure. The second half against Monaghan, when they were under severe pressure, McGeary, Myler, Hart, McCurry all got scores in a period in both of those games where Tyrone were really under the cosh. And I think the big thing for me was that, you know, surely, yes, you know, Saturday, you'd be thinking from a Tyrone point of view, listen, if we can keep David Clifford to 4 or 5 points from play, we have a good job done here. Sean O'Shea the same. Paddy Clifford, if we can curb his influence on the game. But they weren't just happy with that. They were getting Myler, McNamee, those guys up the far side of the field kicking scores. And that's a mentality that is very difficult to get into a player's head, is that, you know, not only are you, you know, taking out the best players that they have, but you're also imposing your game on them. And I thought that that's one of the things that created that extra body that Kevin was talking about, because their ability to break the first line. Like, once they broke that first line, it was 50 yards of space. And then what it comes down to in that last third is decision-making. And Tyrone's decision-making wasn't always perfect, but it was a little bit better than what Kerry's was. And they weren't obsessed with sticking the ball in the back of the net. They were happy to take a score. And if the goals opportunity came, then they would stick them away. And that's exactly what happened.
Jack, did Tyrone do anything different than you expected on Saturday?
No, not really. They've been doing this, Paul, since, I suppose, for the last 17 or 18 years, the bones of 20 years. I would do it in 2003 when they hit Kerry with that ferocious tackling in the semi-final in Paddy Shea's last game. I mean, they did the same in 2003. They did to a lesser extent in 2008. But that's their game. You see, it didn't do Kerry any favours that they've scored all these goals all year. I think that's something like 20-something odd goals.
21.
21, was it?
Yeah.
21 goals, right? That gets into players' heads, right? There were points for the taking. There were points for the taking the last day. And even good decision makers. I had Killian Spillane as a minor in 2014. He was the best minor forward that I put through my hands. Killian is a fantastic decision maker. Yet he made a poor decision that time, going for a goal. The time Peter Hart went full length and blocked him. There was a point there for the taking. He's competent with both hands. He could easily put that over. It's just that Kerry were taken out of their comfort zone. And just to back up something Oisin said there a minute ago, Kerry tried to press in the middle third of the pitch, but as soon as Tyrone, and they're brilliant at that, drawing men in, slipping the ball to a runner, as soon as Tyrone broke that press, Jesus, there was acres there. And Kerry didn't have a dedicated sweeper, you know, to give a bit of protection in front of the full back line. For the first goal, if you look at it, if I went back and I looked at it this morning, there are three Kerry defenders all out of the play and running back towards the goal. The full back, Jason Foley, is out of the play. Brian Begley, the cornerback, is out of the play. They're all bypassed and they're running back. You're in a very bad situation then. Whereas if you look at it on the Tyrone side, Mike Loneal appeared to be the fella who spent a lot of the time given the extra bit of protection. And if you remember the time Stephen O'Brien broke from his man coming in from the Cusack stand side, Mike Loneal was the fella who stopped them. That was a goal. If that sweeper wasn't there, that's a goal. Stephen O'Brien is through for the goal. So you would have to say that Tyrone set up making sure that they always had a sweeper. That wasn't the case with Kerry. They were trying to manufacture a sweeper at times, but that can get lost in a helter-skelter game. And there were times when the Kerry full-back line was very badly exposed for the first goal. because, you know, Tyrone had a 3-on-2, and they're never going to, and as I said earlier, they're not going to butcher that kind of a chance.
We were on the podcast here last week, and I think we made a mistake in referring to what Tyrone might do to Kerry as an ambush, because you can't call it an ambush if you know what's coming. You can't call it an ambush if you know where you're going to be brought, how the opposition team is going to go about things. But in that respect, do you think that Kerry were mentally, physically and tactically ready for that game?
Look, Paul, to be honest with you, this was a nightmare scenario for Kerry, the lead up to this game. Like, the Kerry were supposed to have a game 2 weeks ago. You tailor your training to that. You tailor your, you know, whole mindset to that. Then it's put back a week. Then they're you know the way players are. Players are finely tuned athletes, and you know, they like routine. And then they discover it's put back another week, right? Then you have the questions about Tyrone. You know, what kind of a team will they have? Are some of them sick? How badly will they be affected? And you know the way it works in players' minds. Kerry players had to be, and you know, they're listening to the fact that they're raging hot favourites. Kerry players had to be thinking, this mightn't be too bad. We might have a handy day in Croke Park. No matter what the management say to players, they're meeting the public, they're working, they're talking to people. That seeps into your head, right? And I just think, and then there was the whole idea that Kerry need a game. They can't go in cold into the All-Ireland. So Asher Tyrone give them a game, but it might, you know, to prep them for the final. All that kind of talk was going on around the place. And don't tell me that doesn't affect your mindset. You can't, you know, players aren't in a bubble. They're meeting people in the street. And I don't care what kind of a sports psychologist you have. It's very hard to guard against that. So when Kerry were hit with the ferocity that Tyrone brought, I think mentally they couldn't be prepared for it. They couldn't be.
Jack, exactly. do you think there was an issue around Dublin going out of the championship? Was that in the back of Kerry's mind?
Kevin, Oisin, 100%. The talk down here was, I should Kerry win the All-Ireland, but should have much value in it because they haven't beaten Dublin in the way. I mean, that again is awful dangerous talk. So lads, you see all that thrown into the mix, it's very, very hard to guard against that then. And of course, the Kerry management and the Kerry players would have known that Tyrone will come with everything. But if that talk has gone on around the place, it's very, very hard to guard against. And it was, I had heard Dermot Murphy, you know, I think in your podcast there, Paul, the previous week, talking about an ambush. It was 100% set up for an ambush by Tyrone. You know, nobody, they weren't given too much information about who was sick, who wasn't sick. And I've no doubt that they had players who suffered. But there wasn't that much information coming out. And then when you look at the team they put out, they more or less were full strength. Now, there were some of their players, I would say, that were definitely under par. I mean, I was looking at Matty Donnelly early on in that game, and there was no way Matty Donnelly was right. He didn't even do the full warm-up. He did his own stuff over by the sideline. And he was poorish in the first 20 minutes. But by God, when he went out around the middle of the field in the middle third, did he have a big influence in that game? Massive. And he used his power and his experience and his strength out in that middle third. I thought he was pivotal. That move of putting him out, and particularly then when I brought on McShane, who gave a big, powerful target man up front, that was crucial. So there was a lot of things went into the mix, lads. But to get back to your original thing, Paul, the talk that was going on in Kerry couldn't be good for the players.
How do you, Kevin? How do you stop a general broader sentiment seeping into a dressing room? If it's happening out in society, if people are talking about it, they're meeting people, they hear it in their families. Even if they stay off social media, even if they stay off the media, how do you stop this sense creeping into a dressing room?
Paul, it's very, very difficult. I mean, Jack has hit it there a few times, you know. But from what I could see, I just goes back to the points Jack made there. I genuinely don't think Kerry looked that flat. You know, I thought they were up for it. I thought they were competitive. I thought they made heaps of chances. I thought they were getting the tackles in as much as they could. They didn't look flat to me. I just think tactically they were outfoxed. And on the day, their decision-making wasn't good enough for what, you know, for the position they found themselves in, because they were bottled up and they made bad decisions. Like, if, you know, we have to be careful here, because Paddy Clifford had a hand pass to put the ball over the bar to win the game. If that game was over, we wouldn't be talking. We'd be saying that they're getting ready. So, and they'd missed the goal chances. I mean, that first goal chance was terrible. Where Stephen O'Brien stood in the square. I mean, they could have won this game. I don't think flatness was the issue. I do think tactically, but I've been saying this for the last few years, I just don't think that they've moved on far enough with the help defence to allow them quick breaks. And that's where I see the problem.
Is it in the transition? You see it in the transition from defence to attack?
Well, I see the problem. You see, if your defence is good enough, you're going to have more turnovers in the right area and you're going to be hitting a counter-attack. You get your outlet ball out to lane one, lane five, up the field and crossing the ball. Like, unfortunately, Kerry aren't getting back fast enough into an area. And also, there's a few times yesterday where their sweeper would have been back, but they can't see the man and see the ball at the same time, which means they're taken out with a kick. And, you know, Matty Donnelly, you know, almost took the momentum back to Kerry again when he got to the middle. I know he had a great game, he got to the middle. He tried to thread a ball into the corner forward position in extra time. It was taken out. Tyrone were 5 points up at the time. He didn't need to be treading those balls. It's risk versus reward. It's something they need to learn for the final, because when you're in control by 5 points, it's all about retention. You know, and again, they tried to force that ball forward. And that was the one time the Kerry sweeper actually read it. They got the next 2 points and like a shot, it was back to the 3-point game. But I don't believe that Kerry team was flat. I also don't believe the word ambush should be used in this, because this Kerry team haven't won at senior level. What's the entitlement, bar the fact Dublin went out? I mean, we all had Kerry up on a pedestal to be next in line, but there's always a fear that in defence they would get caught for goals, and it happened. So I don't think the ambush word is as big as we should be saying, and I also think Kerry weren't flat. I'm not answering your question, Paul, because you asked me about how do you stop that. It certainly happened to myself with Sligo a number of years ago. I saw players taking the shirt, a few shirts out of the bag before the match, wondering what they wear that night. And before we knew it, we were 10-4 down against Roscommon, who played in Division 4. We came back to 1 point, but it was too late. So it's a really, really hard thing. As Jack said, if the flags are up, the public are telling you this, you're expected to win. The whole COVID thing, there's loads of stuff, but I just didn't think the team looked that flat.
If we look at the tactics for a second, why did Tyrone give Kerry all of their kickouts? Kerry won 25 kickouts, lost none of their own kickouts. Why? But that's because Tyrone gave it to them. Why did Tyrone give Kerry their own kickout?
Well, I have no problem with that, Paul. I'll tell you why, because if you look at it, the 100% of kickouts, I think only two went long. You have to look at the outcome from that kickout. You know, and I think this is where we get caught up in stats. You know, and if you look at the outcome, the kickouts, I think it's something like Kerry got 5 points directly from winning all the kickouts. Tyrone got 1-4 from winning 18 out of their 26. That's the outcome. So straight away, Tyrone are 2 points up on a Kerry kickout. So why wouldn't you give a kickout if you know you're going to run the guys down lane one, lane five?
By that, you mean down the two side, down each sideline, and the middle lanes are 2, 3, and 4.
Absolutely. And again, if they come in the back on the inline, where they came numerous occasions, Tyrone were quite happy to let them in there. You know, because you're now in the worst position, you're almost behind the goal. So I let them in on the inside the 13 and into the line. And Tyrone always had that extra man inside to step in. I think, Jack, you mentioned one day about Michael O'Neill coming across. They let him in the sideline, stepped in, the extra man stepped in, and bang. So they use their lines, the lanes, brilliantly. And, you know, if a team are going to run the wrong areas, let them at it. Take them down those lanes and use it. So, I mean, the outcome will tell you why they don't. It's 1-4 to 5 points on the kickouts.
If you look at this, Jack, can I talk to you for a second about fitness and the Kerry players who were cramping towards the end? I was listening to Enda McGinley yesterday, who talked about a conditioning. He referred to a conditioning issue in respect to Kerry. Niall Morgan said about the second half, we look the fitter team. Do you think there's a conditioning issue there?
That's a difficult one. No, it was obvious that Kerry players were cramping and Tyrone players weren't. When going into the game, you would say that Kerry would have the advantage because of the issues that Tyrone had, right? With COVID and missing collective sessions and that. Now Kerry have had a full time. Kerry are ahead of the curve, you know, in some regards. Well, I mean, there are 5 or 6 teams in the country who have a full time strength and conditioning coach, and Jason McGann has been in Kerry for 3 years. And reports are he's doing great work, you know, and he's well respected. But you would have to say that it looked late in the game, you know, especially the first half of the extra time that Tyrone had the legs. But I think a lot of that had to do with the substitutes that Tyrone brought on. Tyrone substitutes had a big impact in that game. Young Canavan was very lively when he came on. He was elusive. They couldn't get a hand on him. McShane has that power, you know, to go by fellas. And, you know, it was very apparent for one of his points there that when he went by Jason Foley was cramping at the time and couldn't get near him. But the whole thing was turned on his head. We all expected that Kerry would outlast Tyrone better because of the, you know, the issues Tyrone had, but it didn't look that way on the day. But have Kerry neglected that side? They've put huge, even Peter Keane would have come out a few weeks ago and said they've put huge emphasis on the fitness side this year. So the one thing I did notice, you know, it just might be, and it's a completely unscientific observation. I did think the Kerry warm-up was very vigorous, and it was a very warm day. Tyrone's warm-up certainly wasn't as energetic or as vigorous. And I was kind of looking at it, at the Tyrone warm-up, and I said, are they under par? Are they under power or whatever here? It was very obvious Kerry did a more vigorous warm-up. And with the heat, maybe that was a possible factor. I have no idea. But Kerry have put huge work into the conditioning side over the last 3 years, Paul. I couldn't see how they wouldn't be conditioned properly, but the cramping was a big issue. Was that a hydration issue? Was it fitness? I'm not sure.
No, a lot of that, Paul, I think is can be player led, because like you the players dictate a lot of you know, how a strength and conditioning coach, fitness coach will go about their work. Because like first thing he'll do after a game is he'll check in with boys, see how they're at. And unfortunately, as I said, like the Munster Championship, you know, games against Clare and Tipperary and Cork, it's not really cutting the mustard for them. You know what I mean? As I said, they're pretty ill prepared, and that buys into the fitness stuff as well. And I think that the conditioning was an issue towards the end of the game. Not with all of them, but I think that's a result of the fact that they eventually, having spent most of the year sauntering through league and championship, that they found themselves in a game and they had to go to a level that they hadn't been there before. So if you haven't gone to a level you haven't been there before, then you don't really know where you're at. And I think it was only when they went to that level, when you're taking the hits as well, you know, mixed up with, you know, covering the ground, I think then it becomes an issue. And I think that's why, you know, the conditioning was an issue at the end of the game. But I think it's only because Tyrone took them to a level that they hadn't been to before. And I think when that happens in your body, we're talking now about inter-county Gaelic football being an 80-minute game, 20 minutes on top of that, that's over 100 minutes. And that certainly takes its toll, because when you train footballers to play, you don't train them to play for 100 minutes. And
so where I think there's a slight problem with that argument about the Kerry not having the prep is that Dublin, for until this year, sauntered through the Leinster Football Championship and then arrived out for a semi-final and did as they wished in a lot of semi-finals. So does that not break down on the rocks of that fact?
Well, Paul, I think it actually backs it up. Because, like, many of those semi-finals have they not had to go to, you know, a place that they didn't want to go to. How many times in those games had they whipped off normally five of their, let's say, their older players and replaced them with pure energy for the last 20, 25 minutes of the game? And instead of somebody coming on and just replacing somebody, but somebody coming on and actually bringing the game to the next level. So I think that actually backs up the point. And I think, you know, when you look at the Kerry substitutes, who, to be honest, this is, you can be wise after the event, but when I looked at the Kerry substitutes, I thought, a lot of them guys will give Kerry, you know, a lot. towards the end of the game. I didn't feel, I have never felt, and I've said it on here for a long time, I don't think David Moore and Jack Barry are the answer in Croke Park. They may be in the Munster Championship, but as far as energy goes, I thought O'Connor gave them a lot more energy in the middle. And probably, you know, apart from that, I didn't think the Kerry substitutes did themselves justice.
Yeah, Jack, there is an issue. I know Tony Brosnan was injured and couldn't talk, but James O'Donoghue in the last section of that game, you would imagine there was a score in a James O'Donoghue in injury, in extra time there.
Not going to get into that, no, Paul, because look, I wasn't in a Kerry training. I have no idea how that decision came about. But, you know, James O'Donoghue is a class player and has been a class player for many a year. And it was a bit of a surprise when he opted off the panel due to lack of opportunities. But I just have the one big issue I would have, which would say the Kerry forward line would say the last day, and I've been saying this for a few weeks now, that I actually think that Kerry have tried to, how would I put it, bamboozle the opposition a bit by moving forwards around the place, and I'm not a believer in that. I mean, I was just having I shoot the breeze here regularly with my two sons. They're big into their football, and I was saying that, you know, all the teams that win All-Ireland, right, you could name their full forward line off the top of your head, you know, the great teams. The Bernard Flynn's, the Brian Staffords, the Colm O'Rourke's, the John Egan's, the Owen Liston's, the Mikey Sheehy's, the Paul Mannion's, the Dean Rock's, the Kieran Kilkenny's. You know, they'd rattle off the top of your head. Whereas I think this year, Kerry didn't settle their forward line, you know, as well as they should have. And I think that's a factor. Like, to my mind, Shawnee Shea is the best centre-forward in Kerry and possibly the best centre-forward in the country. He played very, very little at centre forward the last day. He was positioned at full forward most of the time. Paul Gainey, you know, in his heyday, was a corner forward, a good corner forward, stroke full forward. Now, he played in the half forward line the last day. I couldn't see the logic behind that, to be honest with you. I don't think he's the engine for that type of middle third action. You know, so I think I think there is a little bit there in that I don't think Kerry positioned their forwards as well, the forwards that they started, as well as they could have. I mean, the game now is all about the middle third, the type of players you play in the middle third. Compare the engines that Tyrone had in the middle third to what Kerry had in the middle third. You know, look at the Conor Milers, the Peter Harts, the Kieran McGeary's, the Frank Burns's. All these guys, like the Niall Sluddens, you never know. Like, I still couldn't tell you how many of those were halfbacks and how many of them were half forwards. The halfbacks and the half forwards are completely interchangeable, and that's the way the game has gone. That's the way you have to be playing men in the middle third, in the halfback line, and in the half forward line, who have engines to die for up and down the field, who are interchangeable. And this is to me is the big advantage they had over Kerry in those two lines. I agree with O'Sheen, probably the mix in the middle of the field for Kerry probably wasn't the balance wasn't right there. So that's what the game has won and lost. Don't tell me that Kerry haven't scoring power and forwards, decorative forwards to get scores. I think the real issue is those middle third players who are prepared to sacrifice their game up and down the field, get in blocks. Peter Hart, like, he, you know, the block he made that time was on Killian Spillane. That's a goal. If he's not there, that's a goal. The block Michael O'Neill makes, they're as important as the goals they got up the other end. So I think that is something that Kerry are going to have to look at. Going back as far as 2003 or 4, this issue arose for Kerry. Kerry had lovely decorative forwards, and I went in 2004 and I remember looking at the Tyrone Kerry game from 2003, and I knew straight away Kerry are going to have to get a different type of player. And this is where the Paul Gallivans and the Aidan O'Mahony's and the William Kirby's and those type of fellas with big engines, big hearts, who can put in big hits, that's where they're coming. That's where Kerry are at the moment. You won't get away with six decorative forwards. Absolutely not. When you compare them to what's out there in the opposition.
Do you have a clear...
A lot of sweeping statements there, lads, but that's my gut instinct there.
Do you have a clear idea of what you would do with that Kerry team?
Well, I think I've made a couple of points there that already that I would certainly play Shawnee O'Shea at centre forward. I think Kerry tried to run an awful lot of ball the last day. I think they were missing that outlet in the half forward line, which Shawnee O'Shea gives you, you know, that outlet across the 45, where you can actually kick ball out of the half back line, and then you have runners coming off, you know, where you can use them as a pivot. Gavin White had a fantastic game the last day, but Gavin ran an awful lot of ball, and you know, you'd say to yourself at times, Gavin, could you not kick a 30-yard foot pass and then have runners coming off of that? It just gives you an outlet and gives you a pivot to run off of. I think Kerry played into Tyrone's hands by running everything in the middle third. And, you know, you were saying a while ago, Paul, about Tyrone giving up the Kerry kick-out. Tyrone didn't mind giving up the Kerry kick-out because where they don't mind Kerry having possession in their own back line. But they made sure that when they got past the middle of the field and in that middle section, between the 45 and the D, that was absolutely saturated. And Kerry kept running down that section. I know Kevin there was talking about the five different avenues or the five, what do you call them, Kevin? The five
lanes, whatever.
Five lanes. Yeah. Tyrone absolutely blocked the middle lanes. And, you know, Kerry, that's why Kerry kept giving the ball away. They just ran down cul-de-sacs, ran into brick walls, and when you're not used to that, your decision making goes. The last one, even Paddy Clifford, like all year long, he had been used to getting the freedom of the park, and he was fantastic. He got man of the match in two or three games in a row, and there was an incident late in that game where he could actually have given a ball inside to Killian Spillane, who'd come out on a
loop. And absolutely right.
He turned back in and tried to take on two or three men, threw the ball away. Tyrone broke and you say to yourself, that is it in a nutshell. If you want to encapsulate what's wrong here, that's it. Paddy Clifford, up to yesterday's game or Saturday's game, was cutting through in that situation. Here he was met with two or three Tyrone men. He coughs up the ball. He's down on the ground, suffering from cramp. The boys are on the counter-attack. They're breaking in threes and fours. There's the game in a nutshell.
Kevin, do you sense a reluctance in Kerry to change?
I do. To agree, I think in the past few years, obviously every team is at this now. They're certainly getting bodies back. Whether it's a reluctance or maybe not seeing exactly, I'm not so sure. But the bodies are getting back. But that area we're talking about isn't being saturated with the lads in time. I think when they're there, they're not exactly sure what to do. I could see there once or twice where there was a sweeper back, but was more covering an area rather than, you know, taking us to where the danger was behind and where the ball was, like an angle. And I didn't see that happening. So whether they're looking to change or maybe because, like Jack has mentioned there, forwards are so good, if we'll outshoot the opposition. And I think when it comes to semi-final stage, unless your defence is set up really strongly, you'll probably get caught out if things don't go well for you on a day. And, you know, we all did a statement, you know, offense sell tickets, you know, the defense wins championships. And I think if you have to get both together, but you really need to get the back sorted. And if it's sorted well and you've got the runners, like Jack said, you're leaving space for your forwards up front anyway. And your quick outlet is going to create havoc for the guys up front. So I don't know why there's reluctance to do it when you have the athletes you've got. If you haven't got the athletes carried out, you're going to look slow, you're going to look cumbersome, you mightn't be able to break fast enough, but that's down to having the actual individual being able to do it. And what I see with Kerry, they're all brilliant athletes. I mean, they can all do that. So I just think there is definitely an area that has to be tweaked there to make Kerry a full winning team.
Having said that, lads, like, I mean, like, well, maybe not you guys, but certainly I give them a fair old doing last year for playing two halfbacks in the at 10 and 12, and I didn't think that they looked particularly comfortable doing that either. So, you know, I think, you know, Peter Keane, when he looked at it this year, thought, look, I'll go back to the Louis van Gaal era at Man United when they signed all, I think he signed seven offensive players, and I think United went out one day with a centre-back, two cornerbacks, and the rest of them were all forward players, and he just threw them in there and he expected to win games, and that wasn't happening. And then you realize that they don't have the balance that you want. And I think yesterday when you go into Croke Park, you feel as if that's not the balance that you want. I think, again, to go back in the original point, that if you don't have mobility, if you don't have huge mobility in the middle of the field, that comes back and haunts you. And, you know, the Paul Geaney one is the perfect illustration of a guy playing in a position that he shouldn't be playing in. If he's not capable of playing and getting his place in the full forward line, then for me, you know, you got to play somebody at wing forward that gives you a lot more energy. I don't think, like, they played Jack Barry there at times during the Munster final. And I don't think that was the answer either. But I just think that, you know, sometimes you look at it and you think, well, you know, how many times do I have to blink before, you know, I actually change things? And I think, you know, Kerry blinked last year to change things. They got sucker punched with a goal and they completely turned this year, and they played shootout football. That's the best way I can describe it. And I thought that was the best way of winning All-Ireland, to be honest. So I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I want to, you know, stress that, you know, I didn't feel as if they looked comfortable last year, and I didn't feel as if they looked particularly comfortable this year. So there's tweaks and changes that need to happen there in order for them to be a proper knockout team and be a team that can be reckoned with whenever they end up in Croke Park, because that has to be the focus from this point on, I imagine.
Jack?
I'm not talking just so that I'm not misunderstood. I'm not talking, Yoshin, about playing half forward or half backs in the half forward line. What I'm talking about is playing players with big engines in the half forward line. I mean, Conor Myler would be equally as comfortable at wing half forward as wing half back. I'd say he is probably a wing half forward, is he? You'd know more about him than I would.
That's where he's played the majority of his football. But if you look at the jobs that they've given Conor Myler, and believe it or not, I think even Paul recognised this one last week. If we give him some credit for it, he said Myler on Paulie Clifford.
I just have a gift, Oshin.
Yeah, like the same with Peter Hart. Peter Hart would be equally comfortable at right half forward as he would be at left half back. So they have a lot of players who are very adaptable and interchangeable. And that is what the modern game dictates, because, and as you see, when the full back line, I mean, at one stage in the first half, I think Tyrone had 6 points scored. Two of them came from the goalkeeper, three of them came from the full back line. And I reckon another one came from Peter Hart, right? Am I right there? So like, they are very comfortable footballers, very adaptable. They can, the forwards can get back and the backs can get forward, and they're never out of position or never out of place when they get into those positions. Whereas it's hard to say the same about some of the Kerry forwards. You could say that they're very skillful, very good on the ball. You know, do they have that doggedness that you require, you know, the Paul Gallivan type of doggedness, where they get real pride out of winning hard ball, out of getting in big hits, out of getting in big tackles. That is what the game dictates. I mean, when Dublin won their pomp, they were able to do both sides of the game. The Paul Flynn's, the Kieran Kilkenny's, the Dean O'Connell's, they were able to do both sides of the game. And that's why they were so good for so long.
Are we not after getting to a point here where we look at that middle eight, and the course of this discussion is, it makes it fairly clear that Tyrone are just better footballers than Kerry in the middle eight, by all means of football. Yeah, not just
they're better suited to the point to the game the way it's played at the moment. That's what I would say. They're better suited to the way the game has gone, because I
have one other question actually related to this. We've been hearing all year about how hard the Kerry forwards are working, and their tackling and all of that is. But four Tyrone players went up and scored from play.
Look, what I go back, Paul, to a point that Kevin made there about 10 minutes ago. Kerry were trying a high press, they were trying to tackle, but as soon as you broke that press, Kerry were open at the back. I don't think there was a defined sweeper system in place. And in the modern game, you're dodging, you're dicing with death unless you have a sweeper system. And I'm not even talking about one that you can manufacture on the day. And if your man goes deep, you sit back and vice versa, right? You nearly need to have your sweeper earmarked, that you have systems in place where A goes to B and then B can drop back in front of the D or whatever. You nearly need to give the responsibility to two or three players, because then there's accountability. If you're leaving it up to situations where, when your man goes deep, you're the guy who sweeps, you need to be a very mature team. Like Dublin are able to do it because they're so mature and they were around so long and they know each other and they've talked through umpteen times. If you're leaving that up to a team that haven't that experience, you're dicing with death. You're better off to give responsibility and accountability to certain players and say, you're the guy that drops back, this guy covers for you, and the other guy comes out from the full forward line to get a hand on the halfback. That to me is the only way it works, because if you leave it up to the day or the moment, the game is too helter skelter to manufacture sweepers in my head.
Kevin, what did you think of Tyrone's skills?
I suppose we can't say it was a brilliant football match either. I mean, there've been more turnovers. I think Tyrone has something like 27 turnovers, eh? Something like the high 20s. I think Kerry were up in 35 or something. So there was a lot of turnover ball that was only held in the hand for about 2 or 3 seconds as well. So there was a lot of mistakes there. But I just thought the skills I'd be looking for was the decision making and, you know, not forcing it. I thought Tyrone were far better at that than Kerry. I thought the help defence was far better than Kerry. And wishing back to your point, I'm with Jack on this one. We're not trying to make Kerry into a defensive team. It's understanding. It's the understanding of where to be and what space to cover. That's what I'm talking about here. That's why you break it down to lanes. It doesn't mean that you horse everybody back there and say, sit back there and we'll take our chance and play two forwards. I don't believe in that. I fully think that we can keep, you can have four of the best forwards in Ireland on any team for their skills alone. And like the 10 and 12 has got to be a worker. And then understanding when you're working back what lanes to cover. So that's why I just want to be very clear on what I'm saying there as well. This is not about, like, for instance, I know we would have, and we got a name for being awful defensive, but there's certain games where we felt we'd outshoot the opposition. Take, for instance, we had Derry and Tuam. Derry hit us at 3:15. We tried to outshoot them. And we were lucky, we got 5:15 the same day. But, you know, we were open and we paid early. We're 7 or 8 points down. We had to work back into that game. So it's different horses of different courses, and the personnel you've got to see what are they capable of doing. So if you haven't got someone that can make that run for you, you can't have the same game plan. So I just feel that Kerry's side, I'm going to wait for a question from Paul, have such good footballers. If they can tweak that little small area, I honestly think they'll be really, really hard to beat in every single game they play. And I'm talking about the bigger games as well, but that's gone for this year. Tyrone's skills, Paul, their skills are good. The skills, I suppose, that the ones they relied on best yesterday may not be the ones with the ball in hand. It was actually the tackling. It was the breaking down. It was understanding where to be, the whole thing, you know. So I look at the skills were up and down. David Goldick let an awful lot go yesterday. You know, how do you judge? We all know the referees will do this, but the final is coming up now. Will Tyrone get away with that? And there was nothing bad there. But it was just high intensity. You know, Stephen O'Brien got pulled for a free out. For me, you know, from where the referee was standing, that has to be a free in. Now, okay, he played as much as he could, but them momentum shifters. And, you know, when I heard Bernard Rowe talking about penalties last night, and the GA, no one wants to see, you know, games go to penalties. But personally, I would rather lose a game on penalties than lose it on a referee decision. So I think, you know, there's a massive opening here for the linesmen, the referee, be given their jobs to get this right. You know, what's going to be allowed in the final now? If that intensity isn't allowed, you know, what's Tyrone's next skills? And, you know, that's going to be crucial as to what happens in the final.
Oisin, we'll be talking a lot more about Tyrone in the preview for the final next week. We've deliberately focused on Kerry today. Did you think there's been a change in how Gaelic football has been played across the two semi-finals and the amount of turnovers that have taken place and everything to do with that?
Well, I suppose if you said that, you know, Dublin were going to have turned the ball over 35 times, Kerry 27, I think. 35. I think it was Tyrone that turned the ball over 27 times. But like, you think of those numbers and you think of the focus for a lot of teams is on retaining the ball. I think it does say something about the skill, about the skill level, and it also says something about you get yourself into a comfort zone in a lot of these scenarios when you're playing against opposition that maybe, you know, just aren't intense, maybe sit off you a little bit more, and then it's when you get into to games like this that, you know, that things change dramatically. I think teams aren't as good at minding the ball as they have been, to be honest. And it's a tricky one because when you're looking at stuff, I guess, you know, what game would I rather watch? Would I rather watch, you know, Kerry putting 6-15 on, you know, on Tyrone down in Killarney and nobody laying a glove on it? I remember talking about, you know, people contacting me about a Munster Championship match. It was Dr. Crokes versus Finbars. It was some Finbars from Cork. And there was no score from a free. Every score was from play. So I said, I better go and have a look at this game because, like, I think there was, in total, it was maybe 7:35 or 7:40 scored in the game. So I went and had a look at the game, and then I realised why there was no scores from frees because nobody tackled. And if you don't tackle, well, then you're not going to turn the ball over. You're not going to create free kicks. So I think, you know, the game that I would rather watch would be the game that I seen on at the weekend. But definitely there's a massive onus on players to clean their act up as far as giving the ball away, making the right decisions. I mean, like, if you look at Tyrone's game plan, if you look at Dublin's game plan, and you look at Mayo's game plan, let's take those three teams aside from Kerry. Those three teams, everything about their game is built on decision making. So how they transition the ball out of defence, how they transfer that to the best players up front, and how they manufacture a score. Just decision making. It's decision one, it's decision two, and it's decision three. And the amount of time that the players at the top level are getting that wrong is staggering for me. Staggering. And the amount of easy possession that they're coughing up, taking the ball into the tackle. Okay, so I'll take the under-9s for training tonight. I don't want them taking the ball into the tackle. I want them shifting it before they get into the tackle. And the amount of time, even Peter Hart, who will be one of the recognised players for shifting the ball, moving it on, never coughing up possession. Twice he was caught in possession in the first half of the game on Sarah. And that was taking the ball directly into contact. So the decision-making just hasn't been good enough in the two semi-finals as far as I can see. I do accept that a lot of that is based on how much intensity the opposition was bringing, but I still think that if I was a manager of both of those teams going into the final, the thing I would look at is, lads, do not take the ball into an avenue that you're going to lose it. And I think that has happened way too much in the two semi-finals. And if you're going to play that sort of game, it's based on making those clear decisions when you're under pressure.
Jack, what's it like to be Peter Keane today?
No, it's not pretty, I tell you. It's a tough station down here. Kerry public are very, very critical, very unforgiving. You know, what you have to realise down here is everybody has an opinion. There's nobody. I mean, I've been up in Kildare the last couple of years, and even when we were in the Leinster final, I was saying to myself, do people actually know the game is on? Do you know you could walk the street and you wouldn't be too sure that there was a game on? So it's a religion down here. Kerry people are desperate for this team to win in All Ireland. I mean, on all known tradition, they should be winning All Ireland because they won five minors in a row. You know, a couple of real, you know, standout players like David Clifford, Shawnee Shea, Gavin White, these guys. You know, they're a good age as well. I mean, I was only looking at it the last day from the 14 and 15 minors. The last day you had the goalie and five at the back starting. They're what are they now? They're probably 23, 24. They're a good age. They're the right age group. outside of, you know, David Moran and maybe Tommy Welch and one or two others, that's a good age profile for that team. So there is huge pressure here. That team has to win an All-Ireland, has to win maybe a couple of All-Irelands. So that brings its own expectation, that brings its own pressure. But it's a great environment, you know, to be coaching, because it's a real religion down here. There are young lads dying to get in, even training with Kerry. Kerry are still producing good minor teams, you know, but to get back to your original question, you know, it's not a nice place to be. I've been there myself once or twice, and you know, it's a lonely place, because you winner takes all. You know, Kerry were, you know, we've been a little bit critical maybe of tactics and this and that, lads. At the end of the day, I said it early on the podcast, Tyrone got two goals that were quite fortuitous. Kerry had opportunities to kick points. They went for goals. They had four goal chances, got none, after scoring 21 goals this year. Kerry scored six goals against Tyrone down in Killarney, none the last day. There's a lot there that doesn't add up, lads. And, you know, you have to take that into consideration as well, that it was just a day where things went pretty well for Tyrone, and Kerry didn't get the breaks.
I spoke to a lot of Kerry people Saturday evening and again on Sunday, and there was genuine dismay at what had happened. It was almost, there was a little bit of shock, I think, as well, that it had happened again. And I do want to ask you this, as a Kerry man, when the full-time whistle went, did you wish that you were managing Kerry rather than Kildare?
Say that again, Paul.
Would you wish that you were managing Kerry rather than Kildare when you saw that full-time whistle happen?
In the Kerry game?
Yeah. You know, that feeling that you would be back in there, that you would write this, that these players who you knew previously.
Look, the Kerry gig is a fantastic job. It's a very challenging job, but, like, you know, would you want to be anywhere else in many ways? Because, you know, the tradition is here. Everything is built towards the Kerry senior football team. The players are coming through. If you want an easy life, you go coach somewhere else. How's that answer, Paul? You know, it is a very, very tough environment, I have to say. I mean, I keep telling people this, right? My first 4 years coaching Kerry, right? I won, I'm not bragging now, right? But I'm just giving you facts. My first 4 years coaching Kerry were 04, 05, 06, and 09. I won three leagues, 3 Munster Championships, 3 All-Irelands. I got the height of abuse. It's a fact. Not making this up, lads. So it's a very, very unforgiving environment.
But there's something there, though, isn't there? There's something there in the way you answer that question, that there's that lure there.
Who doesn't want to coach Man United? Do you know what I'm saying? There is that lure because of the tradition. And it's part of how much it means to people down here. There you meet women in the street that you know, that you think mightn't even be going, have gone to the game or have any interest in the game. They want to talk about the game. It's everything down here. You can't go to any, you can't escape from it down here. It's any pocket of the county you go to, they want to talk football. So it's all consuming. And sure, it's an absolute joy when you win, but it's a lonely, dark place when you don't.
I think anybody, Paul, with any aspirant, we all think. I mean, the four
would
of us
like
here.
That job, well, would you like that job?
Well, the four of us here, right, after the game would say, put me in that situation with Kerry and we win the game. I think a lot of coaches, managers, I think a lot of people would think that the result would be different when they go in there. Would I consider that job? Absolutely, I consider that job. Who wouldn't consider it? I mean, like, obviously, the logistics don't quite work for me. But whenever Jack was talking about his CV there, I don't think my CV is going to cut much mustard down there. So I'll probably not bother. But everybody, I think, who would have aspirations to manage or coach would look at that game and say, how has that Kerry team not won? And unfortunately, we're talking about that for 3 years in a row. And then it becomes more than just a, you know, a coincidence. It starts to become an issue. And that's why I think that, you know, there's huge pressure now on Peter Keane, because I'm sure there's plenty of people lining up who think they can do a better job.
We're going to come back next week. I'd like to say thank you to Larry Ryan for running this podcast, to Raf Rocca, to Tony Lean, to Reno, and everyone at Examiner Sport for making it happen. A huge thanks to Oisin, and especially to Jack and to Kevin for joining us. We'll be back next week with a preview of the All-Ireland football final between Tyrone and Mayo.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, lads.
With Reno, passion for what drives you. Official car partner of the GAA.
To know what's really happening, subscribe to the Irish Examiner today at irishexaminer.com/subscribe.